Welcome to the Holiness Today podcast. I'm Stan Reeder, Regional Director of USA Canada, and we are partnering with Holiness Today to feature preachers from across the region. We hope these messages will encourage your daily walk with the Lord and help you feel connected with our region.
Hey, today is what we call Palm Sunday. Everybody say Palm. Palm Sunday. And what is that? If you're not familiar with church, man, you're probably like, what does that even mean? I know when I got saved and I was going to church and, you know, there's this thing called Christianese, right? When you've been in the church for so long, people throw out these things and you have no idea what they mean. You just smile and wave and say amen, right? And I got saved and people were talking about Palm Sunday, like, did they just say Palm? And I was looking at my, you know, hand, like, what does that even mean? If you're not familiar, what Palm Sunday is when Jesus went into Jerusalem for his triumphant entry. He knew that this was his final week on earth in this assignment. And what happened was, as he was going in Jerusalem, his fame spread so much that people were waiting on him. And there was going on this donkey into Jerusalem, and people were lined up on each side of the road, and they cut off these palm branches, they put them down. They had their garments, their clothes, and they laid it down. And the reason they did that, they were acknowledging that Jesus is their Savior. But the majority of them there who were saying that Jesus was their Savior was not talking in the spiritual sense. Majority of them were talking in the political sense. The Jews wanted Jesus to come and overthrow the Roman government, so they're saying, save me. You've heard it said that if we just sing it, Hosanna, Hosanna. And it can have a double meaning. You can say, praise be to God. But actually, when you translate it in its original language, it's save me. They were looking at Jesus as this political savior. And they just said, man, what's happening right now is not right. Jesus, can you save me? But I'm going to tell you, Jesus can save us physically. He can save us politically. That won't truly save us. The only thing that saves us is from the inside out, from the spiritual healing. Amen? That's what he looked to do. And so, and we are in Holy Week or Passion Week. And again, what that means is Palm Sunday was the start of that. Jesus knew at the end of this week he was going to be crucified on the cross. So I want us to look at it. Today, Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry. On Monday, Jesus cleanses the temple, starts just flipping tables left and right. Tuesday, Jesus condemned the religious authorities. Holy Wednesday was silent that day, prepping for what lay before our Savior. Thursday was the Last Supper. Jesus was with his 12, the one who was going to betray him and the one who was going to not deny him were there. Can you imagine? He's teaching about the bread and the wine, but it wasn't the bread and the wine, but his body and the blood, knowing in just a few hours later, this symbolic meal is going to be my body. And then Good Friday, is Jesus' trial, his beating, his crucifixion. And Saturday, Jesus was buried in the tomb. But praise God, we got Sunday, amen? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. But Jesus did this on Palm Sunday. It was recorded. Anybody still believe the Word of God is the authoritative Word of God? Anyone believe that we have this for a reason? So if it's here, while I want to jump to Easter Sunday, he has a message for us for Palm Sunday. And so we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Again, it's his triumphant entry going into Jerusalem. Think about this. He knows that he is about to get greeted by thousands, hundreds of thousands, most likely. And while they were praising him and throwing the branches down and throwing their garments down, he knew the same people that are saying Hosanna are the same people in a few days who will say crucify. And so we pick up in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 21. It says, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, They came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. Don't you know the disciples were like, Lord, I thought we were not to steal. The ultimate alpha statement. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them. If you use that sentence to steal this week, that is not Jesus' will for you. Right? The Lord needs them, man. And he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, this is Zechariah, which we'll read in a little bit. Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments on over the colt, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the roads ahead of them, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Some of your translations are going to say, Hosanna. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. Verse 10. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. Everyone say uproar. We'll come back to it later. As he entered, who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Father, we come into prayer again. We thank you for who you are. And I just ask, Father God, that you will move in a powerful way. I pray that you put a protection on this place. God, I pray that people will be able to receive your word, Father. We believe it will never be returned and voided. So God, we pray right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you move in a powerful way. We love you. Pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Out of curiosity, I'd like participators here, raise your hand if you've ever had an unmet expectation in your life, but come to find out, it was better than what you thought. I'm curious. Raise your hand, right? So look around. So if you right now, if you, nobody looked around, it's all right, I'm going to preach. If you're in a season where you feel like you have an unmet expectation, I'm not saying that all expectations are what the Lord wants, that's a whole different sermon. But like, if you felt like it was of God, but it's not yet been done, but then you see so many people raising their hands saying, it was better than what I thought. Everybody say, it was better than I thought. Say it with me. It was better than I thought. Maddie and I always say this, Maddie and I, when I'm talking about us having children, I did not have the child, Maddie had the children. But when we had our little Navy, we were ecstatic, we were so excited. Our little girl is our first child, and we're like, man, this is amazing. We're going to just love her and raise her, and then years later, we'll try to have another kid. And I was like, Lord, I'd love a little boy down the road. That'd be amazing. Just years down the road, Lord, that'd be awesome. And people were working at our house, and there's some people we didn't know working at our house, and Maddie was at home, and I said bye to her, and I left, and, you know, as a husband, you just want to be protective, and especially as a new dad, you're like, man, somebody comes up on them, I'm ready, in the name of Jesus, to lay hands on people, right, if they hurt their family. And so she called me, and I was like, oh, man, I knew the Lord just, yeah, before I answered, I just whipped it around real quick, right? Because I just knew somebody was, she was begging, I'm like, I'm on my way. I said, you all right? I'm pregnant. Say that again. I'm pregnant. No, babe, we had the baby just a few months ago. And that's not possible. I guess it is possible, but you're pregnant. I got news for you, and you've been in that category, maybe, where your expectation, Lord, thank you, but I was thinking maybe down the road. And I started feeling sorry for myself, and then immediately I realized I was being selfish and started thinking about Maddie, and I was like, bless her heart. Man, this morning, though, we don't normally have our little boy with us because our Maddie's mom is watching the kids every single Sunday morning. God bless her soul. But man, we had our little boy, his name's Knox, and he just smiles. I'm like, what a blessing. Navy is more like her dad, which means her personality is way more hard, and Navy, or excuse me, Knox is more like her, like his mom, and so he's way easier. And man, it just looking at Knox, he's just such a blessing. It was different than what I wanted. And I think of so many times where I thought I would want this at a different season and God would bring something quicker. And I'm like, praise God. But on the other hand, there's sometimes like I wanted something sooner, but God didn't give it to me sooner. And down the road, I praise God, it didn't come sooner. Are you with me? This church, you've heard me talk about it. I thought that God's plan was for us to be in Marshall years ago. I tried to take matters in my own hand and I made it worse. Little did I know that God was lining up leadership here in the school district. Little did I know that God was doing certain things. And if Dylan would just get out of the way and lay his plans down, he would realize that God's plans are much better than my plans. I'm here to tell you today, and whether it be a vacation, whether it be a house, whether it be your kids, whether it be a job, whether it be a sickness, can I tell you today that God's plans for your life are much better than your plans? And so our focus this morning is we can embrace God's plans when we lay down our own. See, that's what Palm Sunday is really all about. You have the people of Israel excited, and this guy who kept healing people and just continued to multiply food and all these different things. Like, man, he's coming into Jerusalem, and then I'm believing that he's about to take the throne, and we're going to be our own independent people again. Rome will have no authority over us. This is our Savior. But little did they know, Jesus' agenda was different than our own. See, guys, sometimes we will miss out on what God has for us because we refuse to let go of our own plans. The Messiah, the Anointed One, who was born in that area, over 300 some prophecies about him happened right in that region, and they knew about him from the Old Testament, but they missed him when he was right in front of them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss what God has in store for us here today and in this season, amen? But what we must do is lay down our plans and embrace God's plans. So I want to break down Matthew chapter 21, what we read earlier. And this idea of laying it down, laying your preferences down, and just hear me out. Some of you here today, you love God, but you're just discouraged. Is that okay to say sometimes that we love Jesus, but sometimes it's just a discouraging season? No, that's not biblical. Have you read David in Psalms? He's a teeter-totter sometimes. He's up and he's down. Listen, God's okay with us talking to him about our frustration. But we can't make an idol of our frustration. We've got to get to the point where we say, God, even though I don't like it, I still trust you. But we've got to come to this place where we trust God. See, I'm not going to reread it, but you can see it there. Matthew 21, verses 2 through 5. Jesus tells two disciples to go, he says, to that village and go get a donkey. If anyone asks for it, just tell it, the Lord needs it. And so we have the expedite version, most likely, where the disciples go and they get it. But don't you know the disciples are like, dude, what if we're stealing? Has Jesus ever asked you to do something it just didn't make sense? Sure has to me. But what I love about this was that as they were going, Luke's gospel tells us that when they get there and they begin to get the donkey, someone says, what are you doing with that donkey? What are you doing with that colt? And they say what Jesus told them to say. The Lord needs it. They go, here you go. So as they were walking to get the donkey, they say, hey, well, this is the one. Jesus said there was going to be a donkey. We're grabbing it. And somebody says, what are you doing with the donkey? And said, man, Jesus needs it. And they said, that's okay. What the Lord is teaching them in this place is that one day I will not be with you in the flesh. One day, in just a few days, I'm about to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again 3 days later. I'm going to ascend into heaven. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all people. And disciples, what I need you to know is when I ask you to go do something that does not make sense, I need you to trust my plan and my provision for your life. And so as they found the donkey and they have permission to take the donkey back, that was something to store in their pocket. If God tells me that there's going to be something and he's going to do something, he's going to do it every time. Are you with me this morning, church?
Yeah.
That if he tells us, he's going to fulfill it. But what we must do is realize that God always is fulfilling his will. See, let's go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. 100 years ago, before Matthew, here's what was prophesied. It says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious." Who knows that we have a righteous, victorious God that we serve? Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. See, this was all prophesied. It was prophesied that there was going to be a donkey there. When Jesus said that to the disciple, Jesus, since he was in the beginning, knew that when this prophecy of Zechariah was originally spoken, that he would be the one on that donkey. If God can fulfill his plan by speaking this 100 years ago before Matthew, and then have Jesus, God in the flesh, there and get on that same donkey, if our God can orchestrate something like that, who knows that our God can orchestrate anything that we're going through in our own lives. But what I love about it is he's riding on a donkey. Like, yes, that's what the word says. Think about that. If he's our king, as it says, our king is coming, I don't know about you, but I would think that the king would come with the most powerful war horse in the land. But Jesus, who is humble while victorious and righteous, he is coming on a donkey, humble, because he is coming to bring peace in the earth. But here's what I need you to know this morning. Jesus came to bring peace on the earth originally. Jesus came to die for our cross, to be humble, willingly laying himself on that cross. But in the Bible that I read, tells me in Revelation, he's not coming back with the donkey. He's coming back with the white horse. And this time, not to bring peace, but to bring judgment. And he's going to get his church. And the enemy has no absolute power over God. And in 1 second, Jesus will triumph his enemy. That's the God we serve. Because we have an acoustic set in worship, you guys have the acoustic slap today. It's great. Can you think about that? Just stay with me. Maybe I'm boring you for a second, but Jesus, the second part of the Trinity, he's fully God, but he's fully man. He's there at the beginning. Fast forward all these years later, Jesus was a part of creation. He watched this. He watched God's plan play out after the fall of Adam and Eve. He watched the Abraham covenant and all the way through the Old Testament. And he knew that the old sacrificial system was over and Jesus was coming to be the Lamb of God to take upon the sins of the world. And there he is on the donkey, riding in humility. I want you to get this visual. He's riding on this little animal. And people are yelling, "Hosanna, save me!" And he's going, and they're throwing their cloaks on the ground, and the palm trees on the ground. "Save me!" And he knows as he's going through that procession that a few days later they're going to say, "Crucify." Guys, I want you to know here today that we can trust God, because if we can trust him for dying on the cross, we can trust him with our plans. Not only do we need to trust God, we need to praise him, amen? We need to praise him for what he's done. Verses 8 through 9, it talks about them laying their garments and laying the palm trees on the ground. What do those mean? Well, it means honor and royalty. And that Jesus is worthy of all praise. But see, I want us to take away what we need to learn here today. Do we praise God for what we can get? Or do we just praise God for who he is? Is God worthy of your praise even when he doesn't answer your prayers like you think he should? You hear me? Friend, it's one thing when you have a child who comes earlier than expected, but man, we're having trouble getting children. Dylan, I have a sickness in my life and it doesn't make sense right now. Dylan, I have a lost family member who I love and they're not following the Lord. And Dylan, I'm here to tell you, God loves you and He hears you. But if we are not careful, we will worship our prayer list rather than worshiping our God. And I feel like this is for somebody today. I've had this conversation a few times this past week. Some of you are allowing the enemy to steal your joy on a weekly, somewhat daily basis simply because you don't feel jolly in the moment. Let me break it down for you. Some of you might wake up on the wrong side of the bed because you're tired. That's your right just to be hateful all week long to everyone. Some of you say, I'm not going to church because God hasn't done this. Some of you, well, I'm not going to keep praying because I prayed this and it hasn't got answered yet. So if God's good, I mean, He would already do it. And I'm not trying to condemn you here today. I'm just here to tell you, some of you think you're more well-rooted than what you are. In all reality, you just want to praise God when all is going well for you. And I'm telling you, while it's not always joyful, the longer you faithfully follow Jesus, you will learn to praise God in the valley low when things are not going good, sometimes more than when all is going well. Say, Dylan, what do you mean? That is a paradox. You are correct. Because when all things are going well, say it with me, when everything is going well and people just love God because they got money and they got friends and all that, I'm here to tell you, that doesn't take very much faith, does it? God, if you bless everything really quick, I'm not saying that God can't bless things. He absolutely will. But I'm telling you, sometimes if we get caught up in God just blessing what we want, we can rob our intimacy and growth with the Father. And so when we find ourselves in a moment where it's really hard to want to praise God right now, we're bitter because that person got the promotion rather than me. Then that person got the house rather than me. Then that person just seems to smile all the time. And that's not fair because of this and this. And what if we become to be deceived by our feelings and our circumstances? Meanwhile, God is just asking you a question. Am I worthy of your praise today? Will God answer your prayers? Yes, He will. It might look different than the way you prayed them, but He will answer your prayer. But I just want to ask you this today. Is God worthy? Look up at me. Is God worthy of your praise when it seems like your expectations are not being met? And if you can't ask that, I'm here to tell you. Maybe you're not serving God as much as you are serving yourself. See, the Pharisees can relate to this because Luke chapter 19, verse 20. This is the way that Luke writes it. He adds this, and this is Luke chapter 19. But the Pharisees hate the fact that people are giving praise to Jesus as the Messiah. And he says, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. Can you see them? Pick up your trees. Pick up your clothes. This man is not the Messiah. Pick it up. Jesus, tell him not to do this. Jesus, tell him. And here's what he says, though. I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. AKA, I am so worthy of praise. If not any of you give me the praise I deserve, that creation itself will give me the praise that I deserve because I'm the one that created that rock right there, just like I created you. Are you with me this morning? God is worthy of our praise. But because Jesus did not meet the Pharisees' expectation, it robbed them of praising God. Dylan, let's talk about the happy Easter stuff. We will. But I'm just here to tell you, if we're not careful, we can miss this season just like the Pharisees missed it. We might not see Him on the cross, but man, we will not truly see Him for who He is. want him to do? So let's get really practical right now. This is rhetorical. What has your prayer life consisted of? Because I don't know about you, but the Lord checks me every once in a while. And every morning, just about every morning, I'm in my quiet time, my quiet place, I have a little whiteboard. And I have prayer requests. And there are certain things that I've been praying for a long time, and they're good requests. Not all about me, but a lot of them were about me. And if I'm being honest, this past week, as I was praying for them, the Lord says, I want you to pray about something else. You guys know that the Lord will guide us to know what to pray for, right? And then, all of a sudden, my prayer list became way less about me and my concerns and my desires as it was about other people. And sometimes God will allow us to experience some blessings, that way he can check our character. You ever pray for something, think that God would bless you, let's say financially, and God blesses you financially, and he says, hey, now I want you to give it to that person, you're like, dang it. But I prayed for that. He said, yeah, you did. And there's a time where he'll just bless us financially, and other times he'll bless us, that way we can be a blessing to somebody else. These Pharisees wanted Jesus to do what they wanted him to do. But Jesus knew he was not there for them. He was there for the purpose that the Lord had put on his life. Which leads us to our third and final one. Is not only do we trust God, not only do we praise him, but we got to listen to God. Everybody say, listen. Here's what I love. Matthew 21, verse 10, you come. Verse 10 through 11. I'm going to read this one. It says, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. I had you guys repeat this earlier, and I want you to repeat it again. Everybody say, uproar. As he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowd replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. See, it's so important, so we move, to trust God with your plans and provisions, because we know that his plans are better than ours. Very simple. It's so important for us to praise God, because if we're not careful, we'll just praise God for blessing our plans rather than his. Would you agree? So finally, it is so important for us to listen to God, because if we don't listen to God, we will begin to listen to others and ourselves way more than him. Father, would you speak to your people? See, if you guys recall, earlier in the Gospels, at the birth of Jesus, when Jesus was born around Jerusalem, what do the scriptures say that the people were saying? They were troubled. At Jesus' arrival, when Jesus was born, they were troubled. Why were they troubled? God began to speak to the shepherds. All these different things began to take place. People got unsettled. Look at that. Because when Jesus, I need you to hear this, it's for somebody today. You've been in church for a long time. Listen. When Jesus arrives on the scene, talking to this birth, I'm saying in this place in your life, you are forced to make a decision. And I'm not just talking salvation. I feel the Lord all over this room. You are forced with a decision. Will you continue to follow your plans? Will you continue to worship your desires? Will you continue to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it? You will go wherever you go because you want to go there. You will spend whatever you want to spend because it's your money. But you need to realize when Jesus speaks, I don't want you to raise a hand, If you felt Jesus, if you've ever heard Jesus speak, I'm not talking audibly. If you've heard Jesus speak to your heart before, I want you to raise a hand. Put it down. How does he speak? The very first time. In salvation. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, stop him on that door. You are forced through the Spirit to let him in or leave him out. Are you with me? But here's the second one. It's a lot of you are like, yeah, I already got it. Great. Me too. But here's the deal that's the face with. I was faced with this pastor. He says, hey, Dylan, are you listening to me? Hey, son, I want you to give up this. So hit the sin, I promise you. I'm held accountable. Dylan, I know that this is fine, and Danny, you've done a good job with this, but I'm asking you to release it. By the way, I'm going to speak to your wife as well. Okay. Whereas I'm listening, I'm forced with a decision. Because I feel troubled. It's up or around, maybe, but it's in a still small voice. The Lord directs his people. I don't know who this is for, but some of you here today need to ask this question. When everyone else is in an uproar, and there's all this trouble, can you hear the still small voice of your Lord? Because it's in those valley low moments, the dark night of the soul, where you don't feel it and it hurts, but you're so close to the Father that you know, God, you are worthy of my praise. Because just here at Palm Sunday, they were troubled because Jesus looked different than what they wanted him to look like. He did things differently than they wanted. Because the same people said, Hosanna! Hosanna! Jesus wasn't doing what they wanted him to do. They moved from Savior to crucify him. And church, I'm here to tell you there's a big difference between Savior and crucify. And while we might not have the audacity to say crucify, we will at times have the audacity to say, God, you're so good, you're Savior, but the moment it doesn't meet our expectations, we say, whatever. And church, I'm asking today, can we lay down our lives for our Savior? Whether we feel it or not, we know that God is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of our praise. And he is worthy for us to listen to what he says. Are you with me today?
Thank you for listening to the Holiness Today podcast. If you enjoyed this production and wish to hear more, visit holinesstoday.org/podcast or find us on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.